Does the internet foster freedom and democracy, or is it better at creating digital dictatorships? This is Future Tense from American Public Media. I'm John Gordon. Many people have come to believe that a dictatorial regime cannot stand up to a citizenry with unfettered access to the internet. The free and open exchange of information, this line of thinking goes, leads almost inevitably to a more democratic government. Belief in the power of the internet to liberate oppressed people has certainly informed the foreign policy of the United States. Evgeny Morozov rejects all of this. Morozov is a fellow at the Institute for the Study of Diplomacy at Georgetown and a contributing editor at Foreign Policy magazine. Morozov says Washington is infected with a techno-utopian philosophy and believes technology is as much a tool for quashing freedom as creating it.
The wrong idea that we've clinged to for almost 2 decades now is that technology and the internet can set people free. And that all we have to do is just to get people in China and Russia and Iran online, and they would discover all the bad things about their governments and would collectively come together and try to topple them. And on top of that, the governments themselves are beginning to use this technology. So it looks increasingly less likely that the kind of Twitter revolution we all have been waiting for is actually going to happen.
You know, how does your analysis apply to Iran? Because to a lot of people, it looks as though technology has been a big help to protesters.
So, yes, we do see a lot of tweets, a lot of YouTube videos. We do see a lot of blog posts, many of them very critical of the government. But the big question facing us with regards to Iran is whether social media has played a significant role in mobilizing people to get onto the streets after the June elections. This is something we haven't really answered yet conclusively. We don't know whether people showed up in the streets because they were angry about elections or because they got a text message, you know, urging them to do so.
You argue that technology might have even been harmful to the protest or green movement in Iran. How so?
First of all, I think we have to be aware of the fact that the Iranian authorities themselves have actually been tracking what's being said online in order to identify who its opponents are and then go and maybe arrest them or, you know, intimidate them physically. They have also been using the internet to post photos of the protesters in order to identify, again, who those people are, asking the public for tips. Is something we would generally call crowdsourcing. So again, they definitely benefited from thousands and maybe, you know, hundreds of thousands of photos and videos that have been produced in the streets of Tehran, because, you know, they obviously provided the evidence and, you know, the data, which then can be analyzed and matched against the actual faces. What we also saw happening in Iran was that social media somehow made it hard for the movement to act as a coherent body. You know, it just got too many heads, too many people were talking, too many people were deliberating, and it became really hard at some point to collect all of these forces and to act collectively in the streets of Tehran.
Evgeny Morozov with Georgetown University and Foreign Policy magazine. This is Future Tense. I'm John Gordon.